So if you have a Bible, if you could open it up to Romans and chapter 12, and we're going to be reading the first 8 verses. Paul writes to the Romans and says these words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way in which it is inspired by yourself and is useful for teaching and encouragement and rebuking and for building up in righteousness. And Father, we thank you for the word that you have given Stuart this morning. As he comes to bring the sermon, I pray that your spirit would anoint him now. Thank you for the preparation and the planning and that you've been in all of that. Father, now as he comes to speak, would you speak through him? And I pray, Father, for us that you would give us ears to hear and minds to understand and a heart that listens to what you are saying today. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
But we've been going through the series of Refresh, and we are about to go into the next stage, which is Rebuild. And so today I'm finishing off that series. And so we've had topics like state of our souls, silence and solitude, the sound of the heart, Sabbath rest, simplicity, and last week Mark spoke about studying the word. And so today I'm talking about surrendering all, to kind of sum up the whole series. And as I was thinking about surrendering, I was thinking, what's the opposite of surrender? It's control, isn't it, surely? So I want as many people to be as honest as possible. How many people here love to be in control? Love to be in control. Put up your hands if you love a bit of control. Like, just there's a couple of spouses I can see that are nudging their partners. Like, you're definitely a controlling person. Keep your hands up. Yeah, just you people are honest. All the other people, you guys are lying to yourself, but that's fine. We all love a bit of control, don't we? Let's be honest. We all love it. We all just love to do a bit of control in our lives. At work, we all know that person. And if we don't, it's probably us, who says, I'm not a control freak, but let me show you how to do it. That kind of person, yeah? Or maybe you're at home with kids and you got so tired of micromanaging them. You're just like, if you don't stop doing that, I'm going to ground you for 30 years. It's like that kind of idea, just, oh, control. We need that control. You're someone who likes to dot every I, cross every T. You're someone on social media who spots every grammatical error. You know, you're that kind of person. I think Emma is laughing really loud because she expresses sense of that. Anyway, let's be honest, we all have areas that we love to control. You know, my wife, like, our house isn't always tidy, but when it comes to cleaning, dear Jesus, like, there is trouble. Like, I go around with a vacuum and I can just sense her eyes looking at me with disapproval that I'm not doing it properly. Like, I'm going and I'm just kind of running around as quick as possible, and I can sense those eyes even from the other room. She knows, and then she'll end up doing the vacuuming anyway because I've not done it properly. And so she's so paranoid about how clean it needs to be. And then there's, I mean, okay, I'm not perfect. When it comes to being a backseat driver, I'm possibly one of the worst. Like, possibly one of the worst. I'm one of these people that, like, particularly with my mum, I'm sat there clenching my fist. I've got my hand on the handbrake just in case, like ready to yank it up just in case. You know, we all have those areas in our lives where we just need control. Well, I'm slightly OCD at times. When printing is not straight or it's not cut out properly. I know Jen, when she was hanging this, she had the meter rule. She had like a meter line, a straight line, everything. We all have a bit of control in our lives. But the problem with control is the more we try and get control, the more we feel out of control. And so the more we keep trying to grab control, and then we still feel out of control. And every time we try and grab more and more control, we are becoming less and less surrendered, and we're pushing God out of our lives. Because our desire for control inevitably cause worry and anxiety. It causes us not to sleep at night. It causes us to binge eat or binge watch. It causes us to need everything spotless, clean and tidy and in its perfect place. Because we feel a sense of, if I can't control it, then it's not within my power to handle life. We can't handle life, so we try and control and manage the things that are in our hands to do. It's that whole idea of fear of missing out, the FOMO. We long to be in control, don't we? And we see it throughout the Bible. We see from the very beginning that we want to control because we want to be like God. Adam and Eve in the garden said, well, you know, Satan tempted them and she took the apple and Adam was right there by her side and they took it together and they were tempted because they wanted the control to be more like God. You've got Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, a legend that he is, he lied and said, she's my sister, not my wife, because he wanted control. You had Joseph bragging about his colored coat and his dreams of favor. You had Jonah, I love Jonah, what a legend, running completely the opposite direction because he wanted control of his life. If you do not believe that control is a major issue in your life, this is a quote, study the ways you respond when someone or something disturbs your plan for the day. Each and every one of us have a sense of control. And that's why when it comes to surrendering all, surrender is a very kind of Christianese word, isn't it? We sing it, we say it, we almost have it probably in every sermon. And surrender can be a scary word because it talks about relinquishing. It talks about submitting and letting go of our rights, letting go of our ambitions and our agenda and our very all. Merriam-Webster Dictionary says that surrender is the action of yielding one's person or giving up possession of something, especially into the power of another. Yielding one's person or giving up a possession of something, especially into the power of another. God doesn't want our songs and our service. First and foremost, he wants our surrender. He wants our surrender unto him. And we see it throughout the Bible where Jesus calls us to be a people of surrender. Jesus says, whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he says in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, William Booth said it so well when he said, the greatness of man's power is in the measure of his surrender. We are a people who are called not to be of control, but to be of surrender. Romans 12 is such a great passage. It's one of my favorite passages in this whole book, and it's in the whole Bible. And Paul is sending a message to us, and he's just kind of given us 11 chapters of theology and of what to do. And now he's saying, now he's saying, he says, therefore I urge you. And that word therefore, it's a call to commitment, it's a call to dedication, it's a call to actually say, okay, in light, in view, therefore, in view of all, well, chapters 1 to 11, in view of God's mercy, his goodness, I'm calling you and I'm urging you to surrender. I'm urging you to make a change. So how then do we choose to surrender instead of have control? How do we do it? Well, first and foremost, I haven't done any of my slides, so I apologize. We change our ways. First of all, we change our ways. It says, in view of God's mercy, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul is calling us to offer our bodies. And that word bodies, it's not just talking about our physical bodies. It's talking about all of us, our hearts, our body, our soul, our spirit, and our mind. It's talking about our entire being. Paul is saying it's time to offer your entire being back to God. We are to present it once and for all, not to take it back, but to leave it there and to offer it completely to God. You know, before Christ, when we think about our old ways, we live very much for the flesh, and we still have that battle, don't we? We live for our own ways. We live for our own desires. We live for our own control. But as we come to know Christ, as we come to surrender to him, we're called to be a people that let go of control and surrender it to Christ. You know, that concept of a living sacrifice in that day when he was preaching would have been quite a bizarre concept. Because in those days, the whole idea of a sacrifice is that people would bring it to the priest and they would lay their hand on the sacrifice. And it was a symbol that the animal was taking their place. And so the owner would lay their hand on the sheep or whatever animal it was. And then the priest would take that animal away and would kill it and offer the blood as a sacrifice for an atonement for the sins of that person. So they only really understood the idea of a dead sacrifice. They couldn't understand the idea of a living sacrifice. And that's the thing with a living sacrifice, isn't it? When we bring ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, we put ourselves on the altar. But it's so easy to come back off again, isn't it? A living sacrifice can easily step back. Back into our old ways, back into our old habits. We step off the altar. We step out of surrender. And we forget that we are supposed to be living sacrifices. Once a sacrifice is offered to God, we can't take it back. When we are called to present our bodies to the Lord, we are exhorted to offer our total being, not just bits and pieces. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding, but in all your ways submit to him. All your ways. No matter what happens, all of our ways need to be submitted and surrendered to God. And that is definitely not easy. It's not easy to for always giving ourselves as a living sacrifice. It's so easy to step back into ourselves. And you know, last year actually, wasn't it, babe? We watched, I don't know if you've seen on Netflix, the movie called The Social Dilemma. I don't know if you've seen that movie, The Social Dilemma. Now, if you haven't, that movie will just kind of rock your world. We watched that when basically the premise of this movie is that it just kind of freaks you out about today's world. It shows you how social media controls us. We are actually the product. Social media wants to engage us and drag us in. It wants to pull us away. It wants to keep our attention. And so it's built, social media is built to be addictive. And after we watched this, me and Lapeace were like, okay, We're taking every device. We're burning them. We're gonna never have a phone in the room. There's gonna be no phone at the table. There's gonna be a basket that where we're just gonna lock everything away, and we're gonna live in a cave, and we're gonna go to a desert island, and we're never gonna touch a social media device again. And then we stepped off the altar, and the phone started creeping back into our room. The phone started creeping back into the dinner table. And before you realize it, these things which are supposed to help us can so easily control us and can so easily pull us away from being living sacrifices to God. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. It's a change of our hearts. It's a change of our ways. It's a change of our minds. And I wonder this today, what do you need to change in the way you live your life to make it fully surrendered to God? So firstly, we change our ways. Secondly, we submit our will. It carries on to say, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Yeah. And what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, your mind controls your body, but your will controls your mind. Your mind controls your body. So if you've kind of already thought, well, I've got this sorted. I've already sacrificed my mind, my heart, my body to Christ. You probably think you've ticked that box. Sometimes we do, don't we? We think we've got it sorted. But actually, when it comes down to our very will, that might be a different story. How often do we come at the beginning of a new year? I mean, Nicky Gumbel was talking about the 1st of January when it comes to his gym. They put in a whole bunch of extra gym equipment because people have made resolutions to start something new, to commit, to give all they are to becoming fit and healthy. But by the 7th of January, all those extra gym equipment are taken out of the gym because everyone has quit and given up. How common is that for us? We commit and we say, oh, I'm going to do this. I will do it. And then sure enough, sooner or later, we're not actually as convinced as we normally are. You know, in order to be fully surrendered to God, we must be fully surrendering our will and our way to him as well. I don't know if you know about this, but there's a monkey trap in India, but it's also in Africa. And it's a very simple concept. What they do is they hollow out a coconut. And they just take a coconut and they make a hole which is big enough just to get the monkey's hand in. And then they'll strap that coconut onto a stake or something, and they'll make sure that it's there waiting. And they'll set the trap and they'll leave just a little bit of sticky rice or some nuts or something that they know the monkey can't resist. And sure enough, the monkey will come along and he'll put his hand into the coconut because he can just about squeeze it through. But as soon as he grabs that sticky rice, his clenched fist is no longer able to come out of that coconut. The monkey's trapped. But he's only trapped in his mind and in his will. If he just simply let go of that rice or those nuts, he could pull his hand out again. But the monkey is so focused on that reward, he's so focused on getting that sweet tasting rice that he just can't bring himself to let go and pull his hand out. How often and how true is that for us in our daily walk? So often we want to hold on to areas of our lives, but actually God just wants us to let go. Let go. And I wonder today, what is your sticky rice? What is holding you and what is holding me in that trap that we need to let go of and we need to surrender? I don't know what it is today, but God is calling us to be a people who let go. And we see the perfect example of surrendering our will when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he went and he prayed three times, not just once, but he went to God and he prayed three times. And he said, Abba, Father. He said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was faced with death on the cross so that we may have life and life in abundance. And he could have stepped off the altar. He could have stepped off the altar and said, God, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sacrifice myself. It's too much. It's too big an ask. But Jesus goes to God in prayer, and that's how we need to be. We need to say, God, search my heart. Search my soul. Is there anything in me that you need to pull away? The purpose of prayer is not to bend God's will to ours, but rather to align ours to his will. And I love it because it says, as you carry on in that passage, Paul carries on to say, let me get it out. Do not be conformed to the pattern as well, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, and only then, once you've sacrificed your body, once you've sacrificed your flesh, once you've sacrificed your mind, once you've sacrificed your will, then and only then will you be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God's will for each and every one of us is good. It's pleasing and it's perfect. But so often we are so focused on our will and our way, we just need to learn to let go, and we will have abundantly, exceedingly more, and we will be able to hold on to something much greater than the sticky rice of our lives. We'll be able to hold on to his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. Emma had already read it. In Philippians, I think, and it's just such a great passage. Because of time, I'm going to have to keep going. Our first one, so then, is we change our ways. Secondly, we submit our will. And thirdly, we commit our ways. Paul carries on in this passage, and he's talking about humble service in the body of Christ. And you might be saying, well, what's this got to do with sacrifice? What's this got to do with surrender? Well, he carries on and he says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, and he carries on to talk about those gifts. And so not only are we called, Paul is not only calling us to surrender our way, the way of our hearts and our minds and our bodies, but he's also calling us to submit our will. And then he's calling us to submit and to surrender and commit our work to God, our service to one another, our acts of kindness, of goodness. No matter what gift we have, we all have different gifts. We all have different abilities, and we are all different parts of the body of Christ. And so often we sometimes give our second efforts to serving Jesus, don't we? So often we can quickly do what we need to do, but actually he's calling us to do it as if it was unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesy, then let him prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve it. If it is teaching, teach. And if it is encouraging, then encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, lead diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So often in our lives of surrender, the very thing that we sometimes don't surrender to Christ is our service, our work, and our commitment to build his kingdom here on earth. We must be a people who are surrendered to God fully. I wonder this morning, do we go the extra mile in serving others? Do we actively use our gifts to build the kingdom of God? Do we serve according to our schedule or according to God's schedule? I'm going to ask the team to come up, but there's a quote that says here, "The way most of us serve keeps us in control. We choose whom, when, where, and how we will serve. We stay in charge. Jesus is calling for something else. He is calling us to be servants. When we make this choice, we give up the right to be in charge. The amazing thing is that when we make this choice, we experience great freedom." Jesus wants us to be a people who don't control our lives, our wills, and our service and our works to Him. He wants us to be a people who are surrendered to Him completely. Jesus became a servant. It says, "But He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Jesus became a servant because He was surrendered to God. Today, we need to change our ways, we need to submit our will, and we need to commit our work to God. This morning we're going to sing a song, and it's a song that I remember from a while ago. It's an oldie and goldie. Okay, maybe not like oldie, but it's an oldie and goldie. And it says, "I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. I'm singing you this song. I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss. For the sake of knowing you, the glory of your name, to know this lasting joy, and even sharing in your pain, I surrender all." This morning, what are the areas of our lives? What areas of life are we so trying to control that we're slowly edging God out of our life? What areas of our lives are we saying, "God, you can have all of this, but this one, not yet"? This morning, may we be a people who surrender all our ways, all our will, and all our work. Let's spend a couple of moments just in quiet as we ponder surrendering to Jesus.